Psalm 100, verse number 4. I want to go further with this teaching we've been doing about entering into the things of God, having access into the things of God through praise and worship. And so this is one of the verses we've been using, Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, right? And into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Well, we've been saying a lot about that, and there's a lot you can go back and listen to again. In fact, I encourage you to go back and listen to it again. I'm like you. You're like me. You don't get it all the first time. I don't get it all the first time. But I encourage you to keep on listening to that. But a couple of services ago that I preached on this, at least, there was a service we did, maybe it was on a Wednesday night, talking about entering into a direction and answers through praise and worship. So if you were here in that service, you kind of remember that. We won't take the time to go back over that. I just think, like the services I said are all available, you can go back and listen to those. I encourage you to do that. But I want to get into this further because, you know, here he's talking about in Psalm 100, he's talking about entering into things. And when, how many of you know when you access the presence of God, that's another way to say it, you're not accessing just God and his presence, you're accessing everything that he is, everything that he knows, everything that he has, all the impartations, all the strength, all the wisdom, all the counsel, all the answers, amen, all the anointing to destroy the yoke. You're entering into, that's just so huge of a subject. Everything God is and has, you can access through praise and worship. Amen. And so one of the things I want to get into tonight, just for time's sake, just get right into it, is accessing the wisdom of God. Amen. The wisdom of God. Yes. This came up in my spirit this morning when I woke up. I was meditating on it, and it got real strong in me today. If you go through the Bible, if you go look through the Old and New Testament, really, you can find scripture after scripture after scripture that talks about the spirit of wisdom. Yes. I mean, Ephesians 1, God pray that the eyes of our understanding, that God will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is of the spirit. Yes. Amen. So we're going to look at that tonight and really find out a little bit more about wisdom. You might not be excited just at the beginning, but by the end of this, you'll understand why this is so important. Like in Deuteronomy 34:9, it says that Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. And so really this verse tells us that the wisdom comes from the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was dumb until the Holy Ghost started teaching me. I'm not going to say that about you, but I just talk about for myself. I made a lot of dumb mistakes. Amen. I think you probably are a little smarter than me, but I'm doing a whole lot better because the Holy Ghost is teaching me. Amen. I mean, he doesn't say it this way, but in one sense of the word, I can paraphrase sometimes the things he says. And sometimes it's almost like he's saying, don't be a dum-dum, do this. Amen. So, but it's of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The spirit of wisdom. You see that? The spirit of wisdom. In other words, it's something that comes by the Holy Ghost, given by the Holy Ghost. It's not something you figure out with your mind. Wisdom's not something that, you know, you figure out because, you know, you went to college and figured it out or something. And so Joshua had this by the laying on of hands. So whenever it says he had the spirit of wisdom, that means he really could deal wisely in the affairs of life. Now, you remember Joshua 1:8, this book of the law will not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and mayest observe, do according to all that's written therein, then thou make thy way prosperous, and thou have good success. The Amplified says, and the Greek, I've been studying this, God's been talking to me about this, and the Greek is actually exactly what the Amplified says. The Amplified says, rather than how's this say it now? I cannot remember, I'm thinking of the Amplified. But the King James says, rather than you'll have good success. How's it say it there, King James, Joshua 1:8? Joshua 1:8. Not to put out of their mouth. I just quoted it. Praise the Lord. Am I going too fast for you?
No,
you're going to keep up with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. But the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then thou mayest make thy way prosperous. Then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Sold. The Amplified says you'll deal wisely and have good success. That's exactly what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew doesn't just say you'll have good success. You'll deal wisely and have good success. So that wisdom there that he's going to get to deal wisely, it comes from the Word.
Yes.
Because you'll meditate in it day and night. You'll meditate in the Word day and night. The Word is God's wisdom. And the Holy Ghost will teach you God's wisdom. And every time he leads you into something, it'll be in line with the Word, because the Word and the Spirit agree. But the Holy Ghost will have to give you more specifics that the Word doesn't cover, because the Word doesn't tell you every little detail of the wisdom of God that God has for your life, or the plan of God for your life. I mean, you know, you just take some of the things about, you know, which course am I to take in life? What am I to do with what career am I to take? Or am I called to the ministry? Or is it business? Or what am I supposed to do? You know, where do I work? Who do I marry? Amen. Oh, please get wisdom on that one. Right?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Praise God. All the single people said, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
So there, those things the Holy Ghost is going to give you the wisdom of God on. He knows better than you.
Yes, he does.
Brother, I remember Dr. Dufresne said whenever he was back on the market. He said, I don't like this one, I don't like that one, you know. So he was telling God, and God said, just be quiet, you don't know how to pick them. Remember he said that? I didn't say that, God said that to him. I'm just repeating what God said to him. And I think it's pretty evident God knew how to pick them, because he found Pastor Nancy and is like, my God. anybody glad he married Pastor Nancy?
Yes.
I think God knows how to pick them. Hallelujah. Well, I'll get off of that, because some of you are turning blushing red and all that. But he was made wise. Joshua was made wise through the anointing of the Spirit and through meditating in the Word of God. Can you see that? And so what's he doing because of that? He's making right decisions. That's huge. You don't get, I'll tell you to be honest with you. Can I just be honest with you? I mean, I don't mean to say that and act like I'm not being honest until I say that. But the fact is that it's not the person who works the hardest that gets ahead the most. It's the person that works the smartest. And smart means following the Spirit of God and following the Word of God. There are people that look like they're getting way ahead of you, but life ain't over yet. You know what I'm talking about? And the fat lady hadn't sung yet. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I wasn't looking at anybody. Some of you tonight are in rare form. But anyway. But, you know, the wisdom of God is something that comes by continuing to renew your mind and continuing to enter into the Spirit through things like praise and worship, and getting the mind of God, amen, clear. What's the mind of God? The mind of God is not in your mind. The mind of God is in your spirit. Now, there's a whole passage of scripture on that that talks about that. But yes, God wants the mind of God in your spirit to rise up and enlighten your mind. But it doesn't start in your mind. God doesn't communicate with your mind. He's a spirit. He communicates with your spirit. And he'll bear witness with your spirit about the mind of God, or what God has in mind. So whenever he does, that's the wisdom of God. It might not seem like it to your mind at the time, but it's the wisdom of God. And if you'll follow that, it'll be the wisest thing you ever did.
Amen. Yes, sir.
There'll be times your mind will say, no, that's not good common sense. Listen to me. We ought to live by good common sense, unless the Spirit of God's witnessing to us about something that the mind says that's not good common sense. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about just living, you know, foolish for foolishness' sake. We ought to use good common sense in all the affairs of life. But if the Holy Ghost is dealing with you about something that you know, to the natural man doesn't make sense,
come on,
Amen. Then go ahead. Now, if you're going to take any time on things like that, take time to make sure you're hearing clearly. But once you're hearing clearly, then prepare yourself to launch out into it. Even when the mind's going, does not compute. You know what I'm talking about. And we could take a lot of time on that. Maybe we will. But hallelujah. I've had people that say, you know, you seem to always know how to handle the situations that come up. It's part of the equipment of being in the plan. People say, I don't know how you do that. Well, you would be able to do it also if you were called and were being obedient to that call, and God had, you know, you're in the plan of God. Then you have that wisdom just like anybody else would. But because you're not called, you're called, I'm not saying you're not called, but to do what we're doing. You're not called to do what we're doing, then you don't have the grace to make those decisions. I don't know if you remember Pastor Nancy, she said a number of years ago, she said, God, right before Dr. Frame went to heaven, started asking her, what would you do in this situation? And he was starting to school her, unknown to her, school her into taking the leadership of that ministry. Amen. And whenever she got into the leadership position of that ministry, because Dr. Dufresne went to heaven, then she said, oh, I understand now how Dr. Dufresne was making all these decisions. There was a grace on him for it. The anointing was there to take that place. So don't ever say, I could never do that. Well, if God called you to it, there'd be an equipment for doing it. It's amazing to me. I mean, the Holy Ghost is a genius. He make you look smart. People will say, how did you do all that? I didn't know how to do it either, but I just followed the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. All right, so Ephesians 1:17, we just mentioned that God said to pray that we would be filled with the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. And so there's so many verses. Ecclesiastes 2:16, Isaiah 11:2 talks about it. Isaiah 11:2 is real strong. Daniel had the spirit of wisdom on him, and he knew the meaning of dreams. Yes. There's so much about it. What we want to look at here is some of this, getting some specific answers to things that your faith just doesn't seem to be working on. The wisdom of God is what God knows about your situation. There's a lot of meanings of the term wisdom in the New Testament and the Old Testament, but this is one of the things. It's from James. In fact, go over to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1 talks about the wisdom of God. And we read, you know, the whole starts out with verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and trials, right? Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh or exercises endurance. Remember that? But let that patience means endurance. But let patience or endurance have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So he's talking about staying in faith, staying in the joy of the Lord, and the word patience means enduring in faith or enduring in the joy, keeping the joy, continuing to walk by faith. Amen. Believe in God for what you're needing in any given test or trial. And then he said, let patience have her perfect worth. You may perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then he said in verse 5, look at this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Notice that. He's a generous giver. He's willing to give you your answer. If lack wisdom, let him ask of God, gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it'll be given him. Look at that. It'll be given him. Upbraideth not means he's not looking for your faults. He's not saying, well, no. he's not accusing you. Right. How many of you know we're already kicking ourselves because of the situation we got ourselves into anyway? Right. And God's not going to come along and kick us too. Right. I mean, we need his help. Right. So he said, I'm there to help. even if you got yourself into it yourself. Anybody ever got yourself in a mess? You didn't need God. You did it all by yourself. I've done that. Praise the Lord. We're good at that. Right? We can do that. I mean, the flesh is good at that. And the unrenewed mind is good at that. It's good at messing our lives up. It's good at messing up marriages. It's good at messing up our finances. It's good at going bankrupt. It's good at destroying our bodies and so we get to be 39 and we can barely walk anymore or something like that. But the Holy Ghost will give you wisdom and make you smart to where you don't mess your life up like that. All right, so the context, so in verses 2 through 4, the context here is any, King James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Whatever test or trial you're going through, temptation means test or trial. The context is going through a test or trial. And so whenever in that situation, if you are standing in faith and persevering, notice he talks about patience, which means persevering, and nothing seems to be changing. Now, I'm not talking about after 3 minutes. But you know what I'm talking about. It just seems like nothing. I mean, I don't mean just seems like. It's just nothing's been changing. Time, I mean, week after week after month after month after year. Then he said, don't just keep putting your head down, plowing. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're pressing. I'm in faith. Yeah, and you got high blood pressure too, you know. That's not faith. Am I gonna get enough help to get this out tonight? Then he said, ask God for wisdom. And anyone of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask God for wisdom. In other words, let's put it this way. Ask him what he knows about this situation. Ask him what he knows about this situation. Because how many of you know God knows everything? And he knows what you don't know. And he knows that you don't know. But he's willing to give. He's willing to share. He's willing to give you the answer. Hallelujah. And so sometimes you need more specific direction. Sometimes we have applied our faith out of our own minds. In other words, we need healing. So 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we're healed. So I'm just going to stand on that. Well, that's in the Word. But so is there a lot of other things in the Word. What's the Holy Ghost dealing with your heart about?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Well, I don't know. Okay, pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Because when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're praying the wisdom of God.
Yes. Oh, that's good.
Did you know that? You're praying out what you don't know. And as you pray in the Holy Ghost, something will come up. I said, something will come up. Unless God lied about it. Did he say here, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God. And then did he say here, he'll give to all men liberally? He'll do that. He'll give you the answer. He'll show you why something isn't working.
That's right.
Well, I don't want to ever say it's not working. Well, sometimes it's not working. Sometimes it's not working. I didn't mean after 3 minutes. I don't even mean after 3 days. But there's times. Let's just be honest about it sometimes. There's times things just aren't working. I've been standing in faith, you know, for 16 years for the hoogamooga to go away. Well, it doesn't take God 16 years for the hoogamooga to go away. Dr. Dufresne used to call it the hoogamooga. We still don't know what the hoogamooga was, but it was bad. It was bad. If you got the hoogamooga, man, that's bad. God will give you the answer. I said, God will give you the answer. Sometimes we approach faith mentally and we apply the word inaccurately for our situation. Come on, somebody. There are general truths in the Word of God about, you know, us being redeemed from sickness. Let's just talk about sickness, for example. Those truths are in the Word of God. But so are many other truths in the Word of God. I was one time, I was, you know this story, I'm going to tell it again. Just because you heard it doesn't mean that there's not more. Dr. Frayne used to say there's more juice in that bone. So we're going to chew that bone again. You ever seen a dog keep going back to that same bone? So I'm going to get some more juice out of a story that I have. I won't tell bad stories about you, but I'll tell them about me. Only when I'm out of town, I tell about you. Nobody knows who's who we're talking about, but I believe that people ought to be protected, don't you? But if somebody don't have any idea, then that's fine. But I'll talk about me. I told you this story before. I was preaching at a church. It's actually up in Mattoon, Illinois. And it's over, actually, here. But so I'm preaching, and we had a good series of meetings. And then at breakfast, the pastor said right before we left, we had to drive the next day after the meetings were over, to a church south of there. I think it was only like an hour and a half drive or so, maybe less than that, to another church we were preaching at. And so, but he said, "You want to go to breakfast?" I said, "Sure." So I didn't really want to, but I said, "We will." Being kind. But anyway, so we went. And so the pastor brought up things and wanted to talk and criticize. And so, you know, I don't know if you've ever been tired. And somebody else is talking bad. You're going, come on, just stop. Then they keep talking. You go, yeah, I know, that's right. Then you enter into it. And then you're sinning.
Come on. Yeah.
Who are we talking about here? Somebody. So he kept on talking. He's criticizing this preacher and that preacher, and I'm thinking, I don't want to talk about this, you know. But then, I know. And then I got in on it, got my licks in. You never done that, except the Holy Ghost showed me about a month ago somebody was doing it about me. So I just walk in love and, you know, pray that they get it. I don't mean get it, but I mean, you know. We ought to start this service over. It's not quite flowing like I planned tonight. So, Lord, I just pray they get it. But anyway, so. But anyway, I'm driving. So we finished breakfast, and for breakfast we didn't have ham and eggs. We had this so-and-so preacher and that preacher. So I'm driving. We're going to the next church, and within I think 15 or 20 minutes, I got sick all the way, all full-blown flu symptoms. I mean, runny nose, couldn't hardly. My throat's closed up. You know, normally you can just feel it over a day or two or something, you know. Yeah. You got to get off of it. But this was just, I say supernaturally sick because it was just so sudden. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, Mr. Devil, you can't do this. I don't know why I thought this, but I'm going to get down to that church and I'm going to, where we were staying. And I'm going to check my bags in. I'm going to take authority over this. You ever done that?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it later. You know, I'm going to do it later. I'm going to do it. I'm going to use my faith. But anyway, so I got down there and checked in, and I knelt down and put bags in, and I knelt down by the bed and got my Bible out, and I said, I opened it to James. Remember, it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I opened that, and I said, Lord, I'm just going to resist the devil. This is not of you, you know. And he said to me, you're only quoting to me half of that verse. I backed up because it didn't start there. I was just starting there myself. It backed up. You go back to the beginning. It says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Right. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. What is that, 4:7 or 4:6, something like that?
Yeah.
Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you.
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, he said, you're only quoting me half that verse. I said, well, I thought he was referring to, because I'd talked to you about how I don't know about Pastor Debbie. I think she was willing, but I was unwilling for a whole year. First year of traveling ministry, I was grumpy. Amen. Miffed at God. How many of you know you need to be a miffed master? You need to master being miffed. You need to get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Say, hey, get the joy. Where are you at? Come on. But I wasn't doing that. I was grumpy. But then I got willing. So when he said, you've only quoted me half of that verse, I said, Lord, I got willing. I thought he was talking about that. I said, no, I made that adjustment. I'm glad to be out here on the road. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for telling me, you know, what your plan was, so forth and so on. Anyway, but he said, and he just ignored me. I'm talking to him, but he just ignored me. He said, how many times have I talked to you about criticizing preachers? I said, well, quite a few. Because it seems like, anyway, I won't get down there. But I said, oh, yeah. He said, what'd you do with that pastor up there at breakfast? I said, well, and I was on my knees and I started getting lower. I don't know if you've, I got down on my, I just laid on the floor. Because I, rather than to be knocked down, I figured I'd rather just get down. And he convicted me. I got so convicted. I said, Lord, forgive me. I started repenting. And I said, Lord, I did it. I said it. I said those things. Forgive me. And I'm actually weeping, just realizing what I'd done. And so anyway, that went on. I don't know how many, 10 minutes or so, whatever it was. And I started kind of collecting myself again. And I'm laying there and I'm thinking, thank you for forgiving me, Lord. I'm just worshiping God. And I got back up and blow my nose. And then I'm trying to remember, what did I come here to begin with for? I came here, and it was all gone. All the symptoms were gone. You know what God dealing with me about that was? That was the wisdom of God. Or he's showing me where I had stepped outside of wisdom so that I could get that door closed again. But I could have gone my way and had, whenever that prompting came up to me, and he said, you're only quoting me half that verse. I could have gone my way, just blah, 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 and ignored that. And I'm believing God. And that thing would have run its full, whatever, 4-day cycle or whatever it is. And I'd eventually coughed my way through it, blow my nose all the way through it, got on the other side of it with no help from God. Why? Because it's not just believe you receive or resist the devil. There's a lot of other wisdom in the word that we need to hear sometimes that closes the door to how it got in to begin with. You know, the way out is determined by the way you got into it to begin with.
Yes, sir.
If you and I got into it by not walking in love, which that's what that was, not walking in love. If you and I got into it by not walking in love, we're not going to get out of it by some other truth. You're going to get out of it by closing that door where we opened the door in that area. So can you see what he's saying here? And when he said, when you're going through a test or trial, ask God for wisdom. Now, it's not always something that we need to correct like that in my situation. Sometimes it's different things, but the wisdom of God is going to make things that haven't been progressing start lurching forward again. I don't know why. It seems like some Christians, they're like a one-trick pony. They have one-track mind when it comes to healing or it comes to prosperity or it comes to the blessings of God, and they think there's only one spiritual truth that they have to know. It's not just one spiritual truth. There are many things that feed into this. Many, many things that feed into it. Amen? Amen. Some even natural things that God will deal with you about. Am I making any sense tonight? So get the mind of God. What is the wisdom of God? It's the mind of God, what he knows concerning your need. Amen. That's what James is talking about. If anyone lacks the really knowing what God has in mind, what God knows about this situation, the wisdom of God it'll give you insight into what opens the door to things. It gives you insight into what's really going on in the spirit realm.
Yes.
Absolutely. I said, it'll give you insight into what's really going on in the spirit realm. So it's wisdom is the right application of your faith to every situation. Can you see how I had applied my faith to the wrong thing? And when I'm talking about whenever I was, saying I'm just going to resist the devil here. The Bible says resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You see how I was beginning to apply my faith in an unskilled way without the leading of the Spirit, just out of my mind, and I was missing the real issue in the situation. My Lord God, help us. Amen. How do you know what, Pastor, there's so many things that I've heard taught over the years from the Word of God and so many things. How do I know which one it is? It's called being led by the Holy Ghost. It's called being led by the Holy Ghost. You know these things by the Spirit. Amen. To really succeed in life, in faith, you might say life or faith, you have to always apply faith at the counsel of the Spirit. So it's not just find that verse that I heard preached one time, just because I remember it. What is the Holy Ghost saying? Yeah. Yeah. What is the Holy Ghost saying? When I say saying, what is he bearing witness with you about? Amen. Faith is not to be applied to the situations of life from your mind.
Amen.
It's to be applied at the wisdom of God. Can I just say this? When you apply it with the wisdom of God, you will be applying you will be applying your faith accurately, and things will happen more speedily. Can you see what I'm talking about? Things that have been just, you've been kind of spinning your wheels on. I don't know why Christians are okay with spinning their wheels. I'm personally getting kind of, intolerant of spinning my wheels. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm just going to talk about me. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Everything that we do in the Spirit, we're to do together with God. In other words, we're to do it with the leadings of God. We're to do it with the mind of God. So praise the Lord. Now, godly wisdom is not just good common sense. Because sometimes what people call good common sense is distorted because, are you still with me tonight? Because good sense hasn't been renewed with the Word of God. People's minds have not been renewed with the Word of God. So, it just wouldn't be good common sense for me to give 10% of my income to God. I mean, I'm not even able to pay my bills now. That wouldn't make any sense. Well, to the natural mind will never lead you into faith. It won't lead you. It just the natural mind will talk you out of. But people will say, "Now that wouldn't be good sense." Amen. I'm just preaching pretty good tonight. And this is you can apply this to many different areas. The natural good common sense is fine if your mind is being renewed with the Word of God. But without the Word of God and the leading of the Spirit, good common sense is just the product of men's minds based on sense knowledge and experience in this natural realm in the past. That's all it is. Amen. You often need more in life than good common sense or your own mind or your reasoning of your own mind can get for you. In that case, you'll have to move to higher thoughts and higher wisdom to get into something higher than you can produce on your own. Amen. That's the realm that faith operates in. Remember Isaiah chapter number, 55, verse 8 and 9? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. But the natural mind will say, it'll read the word and find God's ways of doing things. It'll say, that just doesn't make sense. Well, you got to decide then, are you going to follow what you think is good common sense, or are you going to follow the wisdom that is superior to your own thinking? Amen. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching pretty good. Faith operates above the reasoning of the mind in the natural sense realm. Amen. I'm not encouraging people to just go out and do things that don't make sense. I'm talking about whenever the Word of God tells you to do something that the mind doesn't agree with. or the Spirit of God prompts you. Now, generally speaking, it wouldn't be wise to reach out financially beyond where your budget is, or you know what I'm talking about. But if you have faith for something, I've done that many times. Pastor Debbie and I live way beyond our budget. We've been doing that for years. Well, my, you must have a big credit card bill. Nope. We're within our measure of faith. Most Christians don't know how to, they don't understand that. Doesn't compute. Well, that's not possible, is it? Well, okay, let's start back at 101, faith 101. I don't know how why you're looking at me that way, but it's... Now listen to me, Acts 6, verses 3 through 5. You remember whenever they were choosing deacons, there were some qualifications for the deacons. They must be full of the Holy Ghost, or have a good report, first of all, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And then they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So those are qualifications, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, and faith, and a good report. You could really say there's four things there. In other words, they had good character. So Stephen was full of wisdom and of the Holy Ghost. It's full of wisdom. Notice that. Full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost. Full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost. And then full of wisdom and full of faith. Say it out loud. Full of wisdom and full of faith. What does that mean? Wisdom and faith do not conflict with one another. Amen. People say, well, I can't do what the Bible says because, you know, that's just not good wisdom. Wisdom and faith don't conflict with one another. What you're dealing with is your own natural thoughts. Tell your neighbor, he's getting ready to start preaching here in a minute. True wisdom that comes from God will cause faith to thrive. Amen. True wisdom will make you more accurate in faith and more specific in faith. Anything that causes a man to draw back from faith is worldly wisdom or devilish wisdom. The wisdom of God will not tamp down or diminish a vibrant faith life. Amen. Anything that does is either human or demonic. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm talking about where it's coming from. It's either coming from human thinking or it's coming from demon suggestions to your mind. Amen. You and I can have a faith that's always growing and always, you know, maybe the Bible talks about exceedingly growing faith. You and I can have that, but it's not going to be, we're not going to get into that by human wisdom. We're going to get into it by the wisdom of this book and the leadings of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Godly wisdom doesn't pull you away from practicing faith. See, people get confused. Well, I got to use good wisdom here. Well, good wisdom doesn't mean you never use your faith. Wisdom and faith are not conflicting with one another. Now, godly wisdom will keep you within your measure of faith. Amen. But you know, some people... Like if this podium represented their measure right here, and reaching for the greater measure is over there and the lesser measure is over here, people live way over here. Wisdom will stay right up here. You know what I'm talking about? Stay right there. Keep stretching that. Keep stretching that. Keep stretching that. Without doing that, you'll never fulfill the plan of God. Wow, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go home and preach this to myself because I enjoyed it myself with myself better than I'm enjoying preaching it to you. Praise the Lord. So godly wisdom makes you more skillful. It doesn't make you draw back. It just makes you more skillful. Praise the Lord. Well, would wisdom do that? Well, if the leading of the Spirit is leading you to do it, it'd be the wisest thing you ever did. Not if you're just, you know, somebody said, well, I'm gonna do this and do this. God's leading me to do this. Well, if it falls apart and doesn't work, ringy-dingy, it wasn't God. So if it worked, it was God. Hallelujah. I've been there before where it didn't work. Well, that wasn't God. God's not leading me into failure. Not leading you into failure. Praise God. Now, 1 Timothy 1:4 in the Amplified Classic, it talks about the divine training which is in faith. The Amplified Classic. The divine training, 1 Timothy 1:4, the divine training which is in faith. Do you realize that he's talking about a Holy Ghost school? The Holy Ghost will school you into a life of faith. He'll keep your faith active if you'll follow him, and vibrant and growing. Amen. Working on successive successes. Remember? Continuing to reach and expand and grow. Do you know that God has a plan for your life, and to fulfill that plan is going to require you walking by faith? But if you won't use your faith back here on the little things, he can't get you ready for what he really has in mind for you. But if you'll keep developing, keep stretching. I'm not saying you're not. I believe a lot of you are. But I'm just encouraging you. Keep on reaching. Keep on. And I'm not saying reach beyond your measure of faith. But sometimes people say, oh, I'm reaching and I can't even hardly sleep at night. I'm so stretched in faith. Well, you're beyond your measure. Remember, the measuring stick is joy and peace. But if you can stay back there in that joy and peace, and you can know. Yeah, and you can just laugh. Praise the Lord. Then the Holy Ghost can keep on developing you in this. Praise the Lord. All right. So as I grow spiritually, I've learned more and more the statement that we've made in the past. You can't separate faith from being led by the Holy Ghost. He'll lead you right into a vibrant faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. So thank God for the word. Boy, there's so much. I don't have time to get into this all, but there are some things in the wisdom of God that God knows you're not ready for, so he won't lead you out into it. But he will develop you where you are and get you ready. He'll work with where you are, and he'll keep on prompting you about taking little steps, whatever steps he prompts you to do. And if you keep on taking those, I'll tell you, there's nothing like taking a step of faith and then seeing the victory. It's like, whoa, all right, come on now. You know? Even if it's a little victory. Yeah. I mean, it might seem like to some people a little small thing, but spiritual people, they'll go, hey, let's get some of those party whistles and a party hat, man. We need to go for ice cream. Look at this. Hallelujah. But as he leads you, he'll get you ready and he'll develop you in faith. And it won't damage your faith. It'll stay within your measure and keep developing it. It's a little like developing muscles if you're going to a gym and you're developing muscles. It's the wisdom of God to go in there and gradually start developing your muscles. Not put 450 pounds on the barbells and say, come here, bring. I mean, you're going to ruin some muscles, right?
Yeah.
Same thing spiritually. But, I mean, get whatever, the 50-pound weight, and just do all the reps and keep on doing it. And, you know, whatever, 3 times a week or whatever you're doing. And after a while, you can go up to 100 pounds with those reps, right? And what at one time would have been real tough, maybe you're going up to 250 or something. It would have been real tough when you first went in there, but now it's nothing. Same thing with your faith. Same thing with your faith. You can keep on developing. David developed on the lion and the bear before he got to Goliath.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So just keep on. Don't ever be satisfied not reaching for something. I'm not even talking about finance. I'm talking about healing or a victory in your thought life or walking in peace or just you could just take this so many directions. Amen. So if you follow the Holy Ghost, he'll like it said there in 1 Timothy, was that 1:4, he'll take you through your own personal faith school. He'll show you. Remember Jesus said to Brother Hagin, I've taught you faith through my word and through certain experiences that I've allowed you to go through. Now teach my people what I've taught you. He didn't just teach him faith from the Bible. He taught him faith by leading him out into something and showing him how this works. Nobody ever learns like they should learn by just book learning. Just because you went to college doesn't mean you know how to run a business. I mean, you got to get out there and do it. Sit under somebody else who's doing it. Well, I got a degree in business. Well, big whoop-de-doo. That's what people do in government. They think they're smart, and they've never run anything. They haven't even run their own life. Their own life is a mess. Tell your neighbor he went ahead and started preaching now. Praise the Lord. So get this in James 1. We got to start wrapping the begin to think about starting to wrap this up. James 1, 5 through 8. You can see there, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Remember, but let him ask in faith, so forth and so on. Context is test or trials. So we're told to ask for wisdom in the middle of that.
Yes.
Amen. So it's if something has been just a continuous struggle over a long period of time, don't just keep putting your head down and grunt your way through it. You know what I'm talking about? Like I said, with high blood pressure and veins bulging and you're never in any enjoyment to be around because you're always stressed out. Tell your neighbor, that's pretty good right there. So a lot of these things are just a result of an inaccurate application of one's faith. They haven't really got the mind of God of what's really going on in the situation. I've told you this before, but I'll tell it again. You ever, like in the springtime, gotten the garden hose back out and you want to get water your yard or something, and it's always tangled up, right? It's been hanging there just the whole winter long, right there just in your garage. But you pull it out and it's all tangled up.
Right.
And you could just go to yanking on it, right? And it just makes it worse. Or you can just look at where's, and usually there's only one or two that need to be pulled out, right? And the whole thing just opens up. That's the way these things are. Sometimes people, this is what, they're like in faith, if you can see them in the spirit, they're just yanking on it. Just, in Jesus' name. And it's just getting worse. Right? It's true. And 3 years later, they're still in Jesus' name. I think you need some wisdom. You need to look at what God knows about this situation. There's something that he knows that you don't know. Hallelujah. And it's really when listen to your neighbor, faith really does work. It really does work. And when you're using it and you're applying your faith at the wisdom of God and at the mind of God, it works easy and it works quickly. I'm not preaching tonight against persevering. I'm just simply saying sometimes people are not persevering with a good application of their faith. Amen. I don't believe faith is supposed to be a struggle. I read in my Bible, faith is a rest. Hebrews chapter 4 says faith is a rest. If something's continuously labored and heavy laden and you're not getting any results, you're misapplying your faith.
Yeah.
Find out the mind of God. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I remember Brother Higgins' sister. Brother Higgins tells this story about, I think it was his sister died prematurely. He endeavored to pray the prayer of faith for her and so forth. By the way, I'll tell you a little insight on that. He had already prayed the prayer of faith for, I think, once or twice. And he couldn't do it. I don't think it was either the second or the third time. And he said, he asked the Lord about it. And he said, well, whenever you prayed the prayer of faith for them the first time, then they saw what's available. And they should have gotten interested in developing their own faith. You can't carry people forever. Any parents in here want to carry a 32-year-old for the whole... And they're still wanting their blankie and their binky. I see a mom right here. She's going, no. You're out. You're out, buddy. You're out. Right?
Yeah.
And God won't carry you or let us carry you or somebody else carry you forever. He expects us all to grow up.
Yeah.
Learn to walk by faith on our own. Praise the Lord. Anyway, Brother Higgins endeavored to pray the prayer of faith for her this next time, and she didn't receive. She went on to heaven. Well, Brother Higgins, they're having the funeral and everything, and Brother Higgins was, Anyway, so but he had this experience. He was caught up to heaven, and he when he got to heaven, he saw his sister and Jesus talking, and he began to walk over to where they were talking. And whenever he began to walk up, his sister's back is to him, but Jesus looked up, saw Brother Hagin, and his sister realized somebody's walking up. She turned around, and saw Brother Hagin, and this is in the vision. And in the vision, the sister said, she called him Ken, or I forget what, you know, family relative. Don't take it so hard, I forget exactly how she said it, that you couldn't pray the prayer of faith for me. She said, there was a reason. Get that? There was a reason. There's always a reason. There's always a reason. There's causes. And then the vision disappeared. Jesus later told him, don't entertain it in your thought life, you know. In other words, it wasn't Brother Hagin's business. So, because other people's business is not always our business. We want to help people as much as we can, but the Lord might not always reveal everything to us. I'm trying to quit. It's Carlos's fault. He's up here pulling so strong. Blame him after service. But anyway, I thought about that, and I thought, well, first of all, Brother Hagin, he's back in his body, back on the earth, and he still doesn't know why. You know, when it comes to you, you can always know why. When it comes to other people, you might not always know why. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret thing belongs to the Lord. But what has been revealed, that belongs to us. But anyway, so Brother Hagin said that he still didn't know, and he didn't know to that day what it was. But I thought about that, and I thought, she obviously, because she said, stand up with me, that'll help me quit. She said to Brother Hagin, don't feel badly that you couldn't pray the prayer of faith. There was a reason. There was a reason. Obviously, she now knew the reason. Look at her say, there was a reason. She didn't know that before she went to heaven, but she knows it now. I think that's what her and Jesus were standing there talking about. I could be wrong, but she's all of a sudden aware of the reason. Now, think about that. The Bible says when we get to heaven, we'll know as we are known. We'll know as, in other words, there'll be, things will come clearer. So here's what I want you to get. All the answers come clear in heaven. But James 1 is telling us we don't need to wait to get to heaven to get the answers. There are answers. There are real answers. I need to get the answer. How do I get the answer? We started out with praise and worship. There's times you just need to say, Father, I just need help. Just be honest. I need help. And I'm going to get in your presence until you show me the answer. Good, bad, or ugly. If it's ugly, it's ugly. But if it's the answer, it's the answer. I've had some things. I just told you a story tonight about me. It was ugly. That ain't pretty. Not walking in love, criticizing other preachers. That ain't pretty. But it was the answer. I don't think God's... The thing I love about the Holy Ghost is this, he's always squeaky, clean truth. Yes. True. Everything's true. It's not always complimentary, but it's true. We can get on this side of it or get on that side of it. We can get mad. We can get glad. We can do whatever we want to do, but it's the truth. The truth is the truth. People today don't like, I'm not talking about you, but in our society, don't like the truth. You know what I'm talking about? That is the truth. People don't like the truth because that means they got to change. Change. Why? Because I was wrong. I was wrong. Well, what to do? So what? Get right and get on the track and get back in the blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, there's so much to this. I didn't get through 10% of my notes, and I didn't. But I believe we got what we needed tonight. Praise the Lord. There's real answers for real problems and real If you get real, there's real answers for real problems. And be ready for him to speak about, talk to you about things that wasn't on your mind. I got a situation in my life right now. I'm just seeking God, because he promised me, you know, Hebrews 11:6, come to God, believe that he is, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God will reward you asking and seeking for wisdom. I need an answer in this situation. Why have I been struggling in this area? Nobody's ever struggled here, right? Doesn't have to be that way. There's victory every time, every time, every time, every time, every time. Let's not be okay with anything less. Amen.
Amen.
Not here condemning anybody. I'm not looking at you, because I got some things right now I'm looking at. Amen.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. Did that help? Did the word help you tonight? I'm not okay with being where I am. I thank God for what God's done, but I'm not okay with staying here for the rest of my life. There's some areas, like some areas in my thought life that I'm like, why did I take that kind of thinking? Again? For me, it's been God's been dealing with me about hard thinking. Oh, it's going to be hard. Stop that. Light and easy. Go listen to Pastor Nancy. What was that, Monday night or something on the Miracle Crusade? Oh, that was for me. That was for me. That's for me. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you, Father. We're just not okay. We're just not okay with things just remaining the way they are. In Jesus' name. Father, we know you have answers for every situation that just has not been flowing like it should be in our lives. We thank you, it's not difficult. We thank you, it's not difficult. We raise our hands and we lift our voice tonight in praise. Go ahead and lift your voice in praise to him tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you're faithful. You're faithful to show us the path of life, as your word says. Show us the way of escape, as your word says. Show us the answers to every situation. Hallelujah. You're faithful. You're so faithful, Father God. As we quiet our mind and enter into your presence with thanksgiving, we thank you. Answers come. Answers come. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I mean, we could take an hour right now and do it, but we won't take that time together. You can go home and just enter into that place. I'll tell you, I like to go to sleep, you know, just, you know, doing like what we were doing right now. I like to go to sleep that way. It seems like whenever I do that, either I wake up in the middle of the night and I'll get an answer, or I wake up the next morning and get an answer or something. Because you went to bed right. You went to bed with a door open to God rather than your mind on something else, you know. Amen. So, you know, let's go do a different routine tonight on the way, before we go to bed. Amen.